Thank you, guys. That was awesome. It is good to be here once again. If you have your copy of God's Word, if you will take it and open up with me to Psalms 1, to the book of Psalms, the very first psalm, a psalm of blessedness, a psalm of happiness and joy and delight. And this is where I would like to explain and to camp in just for a little while as we dig around in the text and we see what God has for us. Psalms 1, the Bible begins by reading as this: "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his seasons. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we come before your throne of grace this evening. And we thank you and we praise you and we worship you, for you are worthy, for you are great, you are awesome. And Lord God, you're, as I've already mentioned, you're worthy. We thank you for the songs which were sung. We thank you for the song that was offered as a special of sacrifice, Lord God, to you, of worship. Lord, we praise you. Lord, as we open your word, as we have already read, I pray that your word would come to light, that it would have a light or a beam of light that would radiate into our hearts and our minds, that we would take a hold of it and that we would live by it. And that, Lord God, you would refresh us, you would restore us, that you would bring us to know you even more. Lord, I come before you and I pray that you forgive us of our sins, forgive me of my sins. I know I've done many and come short of your glory. And I pray that, Lord, that I as an individual, a person, just as a person, Lord, I come with your word, and I pray that it is not my word, but it is yours. And I pray that I'll be faithful to your text, to your scriptures, to your word, to your law, Lord. And I pray that you bless. We love you, and we thank you and praise you for all you do. In Christ's name, amen. The book of Psalms, I seem to come to the Psalms quite often, especially here lately, especially in this year. And I'm going to be honest with you and kind of open up a little bit that every time I come to the Psalms, I feel that I preach not for you, but for myself. And I don't say that just because I know that it is expected to hear, but I know that I have many faults, and I know that oftentimes I lose sight, I lose focus in my own personal life, and it's often that Psalms, David, the psalmist, and other writers would ever bring forth their thoughts and their emotions and feelings to the table, and they would bring them before God, they would lament, and they would take them before God, and then they would teach and preach to themselves truth, and the Lord would restore them, and the Lord would take care of them and provide for them. And I've been doing that here lately. Here in Psalms 1, we have read as it begins by saying, "Blessed is the man. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doth shall prosper." Here we see that this psalm, as we've read and I've started to read here is a psalm of contrast, of differences here. He contrasts quite often between the righteous man and the wicked. He contrasts between the godly and the ungodly. And we'll see that as we read and progress forward in this text. But he begins by saying, "Blessed is the man." Or we can read, "Oh, how happy," or how much happiness is the man," or "how joyful is the man." Interesting how he begins the Psalms with that very statement, "Blessed is the man." As I would basically take observation and take view of my own life, but also as I talk to others and listen to them, as I ask the question, "What are you aiming for in your life? What are you seeking after? What are you doing this week? What are you doing this year?" And as you ask the question for others to answer, or ask the question for yourself to answer, I would say that ultimately, we in and of ourselves, we seek for something, and that is happiness. We seek for blessedness. We seek for joy. And here, the psalmist, David, begins by saying, "Blessed is the man. Oh, how happy is he." And then he'll compare it, and then we'll see in verse 6 that he begins in verse 1, "Blessed," and then he ends verse 6 with the word "perish." So everything in between, he's trying to make a point, he's trying to make an argument, and my hope this evening is that we would dive in to the mind and the thoughts and the argument of David here as he makes the point of "Blessed is the man." And I believe the climax, as you read the Psalms, is oftentimes found in the center of the Psalm, and we see here that the context and that the very climax of the Psalm is that this man, which is blessed, is because his delight is in the law, and in the law doth he meditate day and night. This is where he will find his happiness. So as I said, that this psalm is a contrast between, back and forth, between righteous and wicked, between godly and ungodly. It's a contrast between what we would say in today, Christian and non-Christian. And so we would come to here and we see, first of all, that as an overview, we see a contrast between the righteous man and the wicked man. Now, the very first thought I would have with that very point is this, that, as I already said, there's two types of men. There's two categories. There's only two categories in the Psalms, but also today, and that is the righteous and the wicked. But now, the question I come to is that, is the righteousness of the Psalms the same as the righteousness of today? David oftentimes referred to the godly, oftentimes referred to the good, oftentimes referred to the righteous. But what does he mean by righteous? Is it different than we have today? Is it a different way of going to becoming righteous or being made righteous? We understand if in Romans chapter 3, it's very elementary this evening, but I hope that you'll see the very point of the text here. But first of all, we'll see that here in Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 10, it says, Paul says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after to God. They are all gone out of the way, they're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one." Back in verse 10, there is none that is righteous, no, not one. So whoa, hold up. Here David is coming here and saying, the righteous, speaking of the righteous man in verse 5, "Standing in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous." But hold up. He is saying here that Paul says there is none that is righteous. None that doeth good. We understand as we continue to read there in Romans that our righteousness is based upon our trust in Christ. And that is the very same argument that David makes. But hold up, Christ was not here in the Psalms. Christ was not even born yet. He was prophesied of, but he wasn't born, and he had not performed that which was hoped for. We see in Psalms 51 that David says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to the loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin." Same as Psalm 32. He says, "Blessed is a man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." But he says in verse 5, "I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and my iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin." The same as the New Testament is of the Old Testament, the same way of achieving, not even achieving, being made righteousness is no different today than it was yesterday. It's no different from the New Testament and the Old Testament. Righteousness is given to us, or we are made righteous the same way. First of all, by trusting in God, going to God, going before God, confessing our sins, confessing our faults, our transgressions, and then also it is by forgiveness and the cleansing in and through God. Righteousness is the same way here that David makes known. So when we hear the contrast here of righteousness and the wicked, we understand that our righteousness is still based upon Christ. Then also we understand the wicked. The wicked seek after their own pleasure. They seek apart from God. They seek and go their own way. And we'll see that as we go forward in our text. But I understand this, that here in the Psalms, David is saying that the righteous are blessed. He infers it by saying, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly." And so we understand righteousness. The man who is righteous before God, have a right standing before God, he is blessed. So two types of people. We see the contrast between the righteous and the wicked. But then secondly, we see a distinguishment between the character of the righteous and the wicked. And that is here, we begin by reading, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away." First of all, we see that this righteous man, his characteristic is that he's as a tree. So the second point I would make is that we see a contrast between the tree and the chaff. The righteous, first of all, notice what he says, he does not fall under the digression of the world or of sin or of man. He says, first of all, the blessed man does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He doesn't go the way that the ungodly are going. But then also notice what he says next. He doesn't stand in the way of sinners, nor does he sit in the seat of the scornful. Here he is walking as if a righteous man were to get off the path of righteousness and was to walk a different way, if he were to walk after the ungodly, soon enough he would be bound to sit down. He might get weary and he would sit down and he would commune with the ungodly, but then we see the unrighteous, the wicked. And then he digresses by, he stands with the unrighteous, but then he sits with the scornful. He sits with him. He digresses. Well, the Bible says that this righteous man, this happy man, this blessed man does not. He does not digress with him. He doesn't fall in that path. He does not walk because why? Because his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law doth he meditate day and night. Now, we see here that his delight, that word is delight, means pleasure, it means satisfaction. And so this blessed man, his delight, his satisfaction is in the law of the Lord. Now, you would think, and I would only assume what you're thinking about when it comes to the word law. This is the law that would make guilty the murderers and would make guilty and convict the murderers and adulterers and robbers, and he would make guilty. But this is not that word. This is not the word. The word law here has to do with the Torah or instruction, guidance, counsel, advice, the words of God. So this blessed man, he is taking pleasure in the word of God. He takes pleasure in instruction. And we understand that the unrighteous, the wicked, does not. They have their own way. Let me caution you with this statement. If your heart is not or has not taken pleasure in the Word of God, your heart will take pleasure in the ways of man, in the ways of the world, in the ways of the sinful, the sinners. If you're not careful, you are bound to fall in this digression. Sin going further and further and coming to this place of where you're sitting with them. You're of them. You're just like them. You're fellowshipping with them. But why? Because your delight is not in the law of the Lord. But here he says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. I thought of Proverbs where it says that where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. The same very word, law, Torah, the instruction of God. If you do not have the instruction of God in your life and you do not take delight in it or pleasure or satisfaction in it, you are bound to perish. But if you do, you'll be happy. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. So he takes this word, and then he goes a step forward, and he says, let this word, let Torah, let the instruction of God, the ways of God, the wisdom and the ways and will of God completely capture and captivate your heart and your mind. Captivate your heart and your mind day and evening. It was a very common thing for the people of Israel that they would write scripture on the doorpost. So when they would enter into the house, there would be scripture and they would be able to read it. But then also when they walked out, they would have scripture to read it, to be reminded. They would also memorize the first four books of the Bible, and they would keep constantly the Word of God on the forefronts of their mind and of their heart. That is, first of all, what set them apart from everyone else. But that is also what David is saying, that his delight, a blessed man, if you want to be happy, if you want to be blessed, you will have delight in the law. And you will be captivated by it. You'll meditate. You'll be thinking constantly on it. You'll memorize it. You'll just completely over and over and over just be consumed with it. And then it says that he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. It says he shall be like a tree. Who? The blessed man, the righteous man, the godly man. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. In the Old Testament, the word tree would often be a symbol of good fortune, of good or happiness, of blessedness. Why? Because in such a terrain, it was so hard for a tree to even grow. And here he says, as a righteous man who does not go with the ungodly or with the sinners or with the scornful, but delights in the law, he shall be planted. He will be as a seed planted by the rivers of water, and he will sprout up as a tree, a strong tree. Plenty of nourishment from the streams of water. But then also we understand that his fruit shall not wither. His leaf shall not wither, but he shall bear fruit in his season. He'll be prosperous. He'll be fruitful. He'll be nourished. And you say, well, prosper, what do you mean? Really? Or prosper? It might seem that the wicked oftentimes prosper in today's age, but we know that the righteous prosper in light of eternity. And so here we see the contrast between the tree and the chaff, because it says now the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. They are like the chaff, basically dried up corn, trash, waste. No one cares about. They'll blow in the wind. Then we see the third contrast here. And that is not between the type of men, the righteous and the wicked, but also we see it from the tree and the chaff by their distinguishing characters. But then we see a destiny for each man. We see a future. We see an end for each man. The righteous man, we see in verse 5, therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous, for the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. This man who is righteous, who delights himself in the law of the Lord, the Bible says, the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous. There is pleasure taken and there is pleasure received when we know the ways of God. But this is different here. There's also pleasure in knowing that God knows our ways. That God knows the path of which we take. And that God, this word knoweth, means to be recognized, but even more has to deal with the idea of more so of an intimate or closeness. So the Lord has an actual relationship with the righteous. And then we see that the wicked, they'll perish. So the third contrast of the destinies of which can be is, as I said in verse 1, it starts with the word blessed and it ends with the word perish. So the righteous man is blessed and the wicked man, he will perish. The ways of the righteous leads to life, righteousness before God, eternal life. But then also it leads to satisfaction in the Word. And then it leads unto, it says here, knoweth the way of the righteous, salvation, of happiness, of joy. A righteous man, the Lord knoweth. But then we understand the wicked man, he is taken up by the things of the world, taken up by his own desires, taken up by his own satisfactions. And here he is, the Bible says that, the way of the godly shall perish. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment. They won't be approved. They will not be accepted by God, and their ways will perish. Utter destruction. The way of the wicked leads to death like the chaff. It leads to judgment by God, and it leads to destruction. You will be cast away into the pits of hell. So the question of which would come out of conclusion of the psalm is that, will you walk the way of the righteous or will you walk the way of the wicked? Do you take delight in the law of the Lord, the Word of God, or do you take delight in the man's way, in the world's way, in ways of which you desire, which is the very essence of sin, and we will be judged? Which way will you take? Which way will you go? Which way will you follow after? And know the consequences. Know the future to each end. Let's pray. Our Father and God, we thank you for the day which you have given to us. We thank you for your word. Lord God, I pray that you would lead and guide us. I pray that you forgive us, that you would help us, that we would seek joy and happiness and gladness within you, that we'd seek life, that we would be have a right standing before you. Lord God, I pray you be with your people. I pray you be with me. I pray that you lead and guide. Lord, help us, I pray. Thank you once again for your word. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.